Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It is episode 65 of Stands and Fits, presented by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State, here in the Carl Chevrolet Studios. You know what would look really good with a Professional MBA Program degree from Iowa State?
What?
A brand new Chevy truck from Carl Chevrolet.
Yeah, because you'll get a better job and then you'll be able to afford awesome trucks like that.
Exactly. You could maybe get a Camaro.
Mm-hmm.
Or
all the above.
Oh yeah, you could have
multiple cars.
You could have all of the Chevys and you could get them for phenomenal prices at Carl Chevrolet in Ankeny at the Rock, or in Carl Chevrolet of Stewart as well. What's going on, man?
Just a normal Wednesday for me. What about you?
Yeah.
Last I'd known, you were prepping for a DMX concert. How'd that go?
Dude, it was a legendary experience.
On your ranking of concerts that you've done,
yeah,
that you've seen, where would you put DMX at?
Man, here's how I will categorize this. After the concert, I was trying to think about all the concerts I've been to. As far as the pure experience of everything, man, it's probably top two or three.
Mm-hmm.
The actual show, I don't know. It was fine.
Yeah.
You know, it was DMX at 48 years old is about what you would expect.
Yep.
But just like everything that came involved with the entire night made mm-hmm. it a legendary experience. Just one of those unforgettable type nights.
Yeah. So do you think the venue kind of added to it? Because it's always nice to see artists' performance in a place like Woolies. It was at Woolies, right?
Woolies, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a little bit smaller than like an arena or
yeah, I mean, I think that was cool. And I don't know what the crowds that he performs in front of are like usually.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was packed wall to wall.
Probably so. Much bigger 10 years ago,
right?
I would imagine.
Well, yeah, 10, I don't...
10, 15.
It was the crowd. Let's just say the crowds were much bigger 3 trips to prison ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was completely packed. Everybody was fired up. It was exactly what you would expect a DMX concert to be.
Yep.
And I've been to a lot of rap concerts. It was really funny to, like, I could tell that Chris hadn't been to many rap concerts or Travis Hines or even Sipker.
Shocker there.
So I don't think they really knew what to expect. Yeah. And I'd been to a lot of shows at Woolies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I had a pretty good idea of what we were going to be walking into, mm-hmm. regardless of how good DMX was. I was like, you know, this could be really bad,
mm-hmm.
but I know that Woolies shows at Woolies are usually pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was kind of where I went into it with the expectation. And it was exactly what I would expect it to be,
mm-hmm.
where you could smell the concert 2 blocks away. We were sitting yeah. at the Locust Tap and I'm sitting there and I looked at Chris. It was just me and him. I said, "Do you smell that?" He's like, "No." And I was like, "Ooh,
smells like DMX concert."
Yeah. It smells like a DMX concert in the East Village, man. But yeah, I mean, and it was really fun. Like mm-hmm. I said, I don't know that he performs in front of crowds like that very often.
Yeah.
And it just was, it was just remarkable.
From the video you posted, I think it was on Instagram, I could just tell it looked like everyone was really getting into it, which
yeah.
is what you want to do when you go to a concert.
Well, yeah. And it was just, it's not, like I said, it was so ridiculous to be seeing DMX in Woolies as a, like, this 45-year-old version of him.
He sounded really good, I thought.
Man, he sounds, yeah.
He sounded almost
exactly like what you expect him to.
Yeah.
And I think Chris talked about this. He did one verse of every song.
Oh.
I don't think he's got the
stamina
to do with the entire songs.
Yeah.
Man, one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen in a concert, though, was he tried to get up on this stack of speakers.
Mm.
It
did it tumble
it's
down.
It's like a stack of 3 speakers. I think everybody in the venue, when he starts trying to climb these things, it's like, oh my God.
Don't hurt yourself.
X, we don't want to see you die here.
Yeah.
And he was the only one who was hyped up about getting up on top of these speakers. Everybody else is like holding their breath, waiting to see what's about to happen.
Yeah.
And then they wheeled a speaker out onto the stage for him to stand up on top of after he'd like mother effed the speakers stack and all this kind of stuff.
It was the speaker's fault, obviously.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So then what was the biggest song of the night then that you got the biggest reaction?
Oh, it's the anthem, dude. Rough Riders anthem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, at least for me, that, well, and What These Bitches Want also a high level song, and it just, I didn't anticipate him doing that one, so that was kind of funny.
Gotcha.
It was one, like, every song he did, I was just like, man, yes. He's playing the hits.
Nerding out, you know? A little bit. Yeah.
Right, yeah. He, like, DMX is out here playing the hits. I'm not going to get mad about being able to hear DMX do some of his cuts, you know, just in person. And, I mean, I think that the everything that took place after the show was really what made it, you know, interesting in the end, where Chris gets the picture with DMX.
Oh, did he? I didn't see
you
that.
You didn't see that?
No, I didn't.
Have you not heard this story?
Uh-uh. Go on.
Oh, my goodness.
What happened?
So, the show gets over. We'd had a few pops at this point, obviously.
Yep.
And Chris said, all right, let's go to a bar. We walked around for a while trying to find a bar that didn't have that many people in it, because it was just the four of us. We wanted to sit and, like, talk.
Yep.
And we walk past this bar, and Sipker says, hey, this one's pretty much empty. Let's just go in here. Okay, cool. We go in there. Sitting in there for a while, we started talking. The bartender was from Stewart. So shout out to Carl Chevrolet Stewart.
There you go. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be. So Chris was talking to him about the dirt track in Stewart.
Naturally.
Yeah, we were talking just about all kinds of just random stuff about that, about small towns and stuff. And somebody came and tapped me on the shoulder, and they showed me their phone. It was one of Chris's friends. I can't remember his name right now, but and it apparently Chris had told him to come to this bar. He Googled it to figure out where it was, and he showed it to me, and it said the name, and it said gay bar underneath.
Oh, really?
And I was like,
oh.
It's like everything all of a sudden really clicked into place for me.
Yeah.
You know, where just so looking around the environment,
the
you're
type
like,
of people, yeah.
You're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is where we're at. And yeah. it wasn't a thing where I was like, man, we got to get out of here. No, yeah. It was just like, oh.
Didn't realize it until you saw it on Google.
Yeah. And that turned into Scott Sipker showing the bartender his drag queen photos.
Oh, lovely.
And while this is going on, we decide that we're going to finish our beer. We're going to go somewhere else. And I went to the bathroom. Chris and Travis went outside. I go to the bathroom. I come out. Walk out the door. Immediately after I walk out the door, Chris puts his phone into my face. He looks at me. Look what just happened. You know, bragging to me. And I was like, look, and it's him and DMX. I was like, oh my God.
Was he just out walking around?
Yeah, he just walked past.
Wow.
Right after they walked out the door, he walked past. And I look up and I saw him about to go around the corner.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm catching him. So I kind of went off following him. And I got right around the corner behind him, and I said, hey, X. And his bodyguard came up, put his hand on my chest, and he said, he ain't taking any photos, bro. He's done with the photos.
So Chris got the last one.
Yeah, and I was like, no, that's cool. And I just was like, hey, I enjoyed the show. And
yeah.
Appreciate you, dog. So.
Yeah. Well, at least you have the memory.
DMX appreciates me, at least as I remember that. But
yeah.
Didn't get a picture with him. We started to go to another bar, and then we found out that DMX was across the street at a different bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never heard of this bar before. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We got there. They told us it was a $10 cover.
Oh, really?
And I was like, a $10 cover? I don't even know where we are.
Well,
like,
let's see. What night of the week was this?
A Wednesday.
Okay, yeah. That's high for a Wednesday, especially.
And then the bouncer said $10 cover, and I was like, $10? He looked me dead in the eyes, deadpan. Dude, DMX is here. And I was like, man, you're right.
Yeah, you've got
a point. $10. Here's my $10, sir. And gave him the $10. We went in. You know, Chris has said this. Like, DMX is a reformed man.
Yeah.
You know, he blessed us at the concert. We prayed with him. He gave us a nice little sermon. Just about, you know, how you can turn your life around and stuff like that. And I have some concerns about how, what kind of public persona DMX is putting out
and what
and
really
what's
is.
Happening behind the scenes a little bit.
So was he pounding them pretty hard or something? Excuse you.
Sorry. I don't know how much, you know, how much do you divulge from the DMX after party that I paid $10. I think I can say about whatever I want. But he's sitting in a corner. Chris and I are kind of on the other side, just like watching.
Yeah.
He had one guy that was standing there pouring Hennessy straight in his mouth, holding the bottle of Hennessy. He would pour it in his mouth because DMX has his arm around two girls.
Yeah, of course.
Sitting right there.
Yeah.
And Chris, I think Chris said something. He was just like, man, how do you become a DMX groupie? You know?
Mm-hmm.
How do you become the girl that's chilling with DMX?
That's a really good question.
Where does your life turn to where you're chilling with 48-year-old DMX before after his show?
I would think those groupies, I don't know. Do you think they would be from Des Moines, or do you think they would travel around with DMX?
I have no idea. I have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
It was remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the, so the night escalated to the point where I literally was like, I need to leave because something is going to happen that's going to like bring this down. I'm just going to go when everything's going good.
Yeah.
And so I was the first person to leave out of the four, which probably would be, most people would probably not handicap it that way.
Yeah. I would have guessed that probably Hines would have been the first one to turn in personally.
I'd also probably at that point had the most to drink. So,
you were ready.
Yeah. It was time to go home. And, but it was where like I got home and my roommate was still awake and I told him this whole story. I don't know how coherent it was at the time, but I woke up the next morning and I had a text from Chris and it just said, never forget the night we ended up at a DMX after party. And all of a sudden it just all came back to me. I was like, man, we were at DMX's after party.
That's right. Yeah.
The
Des Moines DMX after party.
So yeah, who knows if we'll ever see DMX in the capital city ever again, but at least we had that one night. And
no one can take it away from
us. And no one can ever take that away from us. Yeah.
Good for you guys.
Yeah.
I'm glad you had a good time.
It was awesome. But all right, but there's been some news in Iowa State world.
Yeah.
Caleb Grill commits yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
3-star guard from Kansas. I've kind of given my take on this. What do you think?
I mean, again, at this point in the game, any kind of high school prospect that you can get, and especially one who's a higher 3-star, I think is what – he ended up being the highest ranked in the class, I believe, according to 247 Composite.
The highest ranked player in the class?
Yeah.
You can look it up.
I'm pretty sure. They updated him today, and I'm pretty positive he ended up being the highest ranked in this class. But
man, that would make me feel really bad about this class if that's
well, the thing is, I think they've got a lot of sleepers in this class. They're not necessarily
he did. Wow, that's well, he's not the man. He got bumped up a lot.
Yeah, he's like a 90 or something now, isn't he? On their on their scale.
Yeah, yeah, he's a 164 now.
And I want to say Trey Jackson was the second.
He's at 164 in the top 247. Wow, I did not see that. That's
the more you know.
That is. That's shocking.
So he's obviously
up 333 spots.
That's the Iowa State bump right there.
Yeah, no kidding. My goodness, that's crazy.
Nice jumper, but at the same time, he's not just a shooter. He's got a little bit of athleticism to his game as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw Chris retweeted Gabe Hibben on Twitter, and the comparison he had made was Dante DiVincenzo.
Okay.
And I think that's a fairly good comparison.
Wasn't Dante DiVincenzo like a top 40 recruit though?
Yeah, but at the same time, we're always comparing to people who are well known.
DiVincenzo, 247. I'm going to look at what his recruiting profile
was. I'm sure he was top like 50.
Yeah. He was 124. So, I guess it really wasn't that much different. He was a 92 and Caleb's a 91.
Yep.
Yeah, I did not see that. Wow. That's, you know, I'm not that surprised though. I figured that once he got some more exposure and stuff, and then some people got more of a chance to look at him, then he would go up. I didn't anticipate him going up 300 spots. But.
Yep. And so while it's a great pickup and definitely will make the team better in future years, I do think they still have some work to do if they want to get back to the point where they're definitely a contender next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think you can't expect Caleb Grill to come in and be –
you can't expect him to replace the production of, like, Lindell Wigginton.
Right. I mean, a lot of people have made the Matt Thomas comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Matt not being, being pretty underwhelming as a freshman for what I think everybody expected from him. If I remember correctly, I'm looking it up now.
Coming out of high school, I would say that Matt Thomas was a better pure shooter, but I think Grill is probably more athletic than Matt was.
5.5 points, 2.1 rebounds, 33% from three.
Yeah.
Like, we would take that from Caleb Grill next year, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
The difference is that he was obviously on a really good
Matt Thomas
had some dudes around him.
Matt Thomas had – yeah, he was on that DeAndre Kane team his freshman season.
Right. But, yeah, he went from shooting 33%, 33.6% from three as a freshman to shooting almost 45% from three as a senior. So.
Yeah. You remember early on in Matt Thomas's career, it's just kind of a confidence thing. He just had to work his way into the game.
I think that he could be a solid contributor in year one and two, but he'll be a guy that by year three, four will be a very, very good player.
We'll be looking back in 3 or 4 years and being like, that was a really good signing.
Right.
Underrated signing, I would say.
I definitely agree. I think he's going to help them win a lot of basketball games too. Mm-hmm. I mean, he seems like a good kid.
To hear that he grew up a Cyclone fan and his favorite play was that Matt Thomas dunk against Kansas that one year. That was pretty cool. I thought that was a cool story.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about him being a Cyclone fan. Mm-hmm. Like, I asked him about that yesterday, and he just said it was how they played. He was just drawn to him. So
it's exciting.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that kids are, like, now growing up.
Having looked back at the Fred Hoiberg era.
Yeah. He was, like, 10.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, yeah, that would have been 2013-14, and it's, what, 6-7 years later?
Yeah.
So,
almost 6 years.
You're right. So
since the start of that season.
He would have basically been in middle school or around there at that point.
Yeah. And, like, when Fred got hired, he probably would have been in elementary.
Man.
That's crazy.
We're getting old.
You can say that again, man.
So, anyways, we got a couple other people on our radar as far as recruits go.
Yeah, so moving on from – obviously, you get him. I don't think they're going to – I can't imagine them looking at any more high school kids.
No. At this point, they need an immediate impact guy.
Right. And you got the Rajon Tucker situation. Sounds like they're going to be in a good spot with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, he's obviously got some other good schools coming after him, but
and he can still technically try to go to the NBA at this point if he wanted to.
That's the thing that I think is the wild card there.
Yeah.
I don't know how to word this.
I think I
would not be shocked either way if he went to Iowa State or if he went to the NBA.
Because I think if you have a chance at the NBA, again, it's kind of like the Talen Horton-Tucker situation. You could come back and you could benefit from more, but at the same time, if you got the chance to go to the NBA, it's hard to turn that down.
I just don't know. He's not going to the combine, is he?
I don't think so.
No. So, I mean, he would have to really impress in workouts, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The question with him will be, is he just a guy who put up big numbers on a bad team? I mean, Little Rock's been really bad since Chris Beard left. Yep. So, but no, I think he's good enough to be where you could at least expect him to replace some of the production you lose in Lindell Wigginton.
Mm-hmm.
I think obviously we know that you're going to get a bump from Tyrese.
Yep.
We feel like Prentice can come in and probably give you close to double digit points every night. Mike's a double digit point guy.
Sounds like Nixon is doing very well on ball defense as well.
Yeah. He's just a grinder.
Yep.
A guy that they probably could have really used this last year.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that if they can get – if they get Rajon Tucker, just him.
Rajon Tucker is A-plus of that possibility.
Right. If they got just him, all of a sudden, I think they're a tournament team again.
Yep.
I do. There's enough talent there.
Agreed.
And especially with as good as the front court should be.
Yeah.
As much as you bring back there, and then just hoping that those guys can step up into bigger roles, I do think that they'd get back to the tournament.
Because I do think that the freshman class coming in has a few guys who could develop into big-time scorers, but I don't think that it's safe to count on any of them to do that this year.
No. And that's what I don't imagine the freshmen making as big of an impact next season as they did for the team this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look up what Tyrese ended up on 247.
Wasn't he the lowest ranked of the four that came in?
I think so. He was 173, so right around in that same range that Caleb Grill was.
Okay.
I knew that they had to have been close. I thought I remembered that right. But, I wouldn't be surprised if Caleb Grill plays some good minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Trey Jackson plays some good minutes.
Yep.
I still think there's something out there for Terrence Lewis, too.
Whoever can step up and be a perimeter shooter, they're going to get minutes on this team.
Yeah. I think the most interesting one that they're looking at right now for me is Rasir Bolton the Penn State from or the transfer from Penn State.
Yeah, he's their second leading scorer last year, correct?
Yeah, second leading scorer as a true freshman would have 3 years of eligibility remaining. Is a sit out guy.
Yeah, and he's a 6'5" guy, isn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
So he'd be nice, a little length on the perimeter, which would be good.
Yeah, if they can get a guy like that, then he would be, I think, a really good sit-out guy for you.
Yep.
Kind of in that Mariel Shayok mold.
Yep.
You know.
And then correct me if I'm
wrong. And then Javon Johnson
will
be here,
too. Yeah, Javon Johnson, you said he was visiting soon, correct?
Yeah, he's coming. He'll be on his visit starting tomorrow on Thursday.
Okay.
So they'll be here at the same time. Basically, Rashir Bolton is coming this weekend as well, so those visits will kind of overlap a little bit.
Gotcha.
I do think if I had to put a guess on it, two scholarships open, I would say obviously number one is Rajon Tucker.
Yep.
That's like priority number one.
Agreed.
I would say probably Bolton is two, and then Javon Johnson is three. That would just be my guess if I was looking at it as an outsider.
I'd agree with that. As an outsider. But anywho.
Yeah. If you get Tucker, if you get Bolton, even when Bolton sits, that, like I said, I think that's a tournament team. I think you get back to the tournament again. And you battle for the top half of the conference.
Yep. Any scenario where we get Tucker is a home run. And then if we just get Bolton, then that's fine too. But at the same time, we're gonna be going into next year with a few more questions than we would have otherwise.
Yeah, and it's still, I said this to Chris yesterday, just right now with the way the roster is currently made up, 7 of the 11 guys on the team are freshmen or sophomores.
Man. So it's scary, but at the same time, there's a ton of potential.
Which is even, I mean, if you get Bolton, then it goes to 8 because he's only going to be a sophomore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even if you get Rajon Tucker and you add one more senior, then you still, and then you get Bolton, like you're still basically, I mean, that's a young team.
Yep.
You know? But on the bright side, a lot of those guys that are young, for the most part, have played a lot of basketball for Iowa State too. So I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
One other interesting thing I thought that we could talk about today, CBS Sports released their rankings of the Power 5 coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Thomas,
clocking in on the football coach ranking list.
Matt Campbell comes in at number 19. Up 11 spots from number 30 last year, ahead of names such as Scott Frost, Mike Leach, David Cutcliffe, Paul Christ, and Kirk Ferentz.
Hmm. Interesting.
What do you think?
I am not surprised that he has moved up so much. I think they've really garnered the attention in the national media, especially the last year after they made the Alamo Bowl. Of course, the thing that stood out there was he's in front of Ferentz on those rankings. And I think
the thing that makes it that way, though, is it's like a appeal. Like if you were going to hire a new coach.
That's the exact thing. And plus, I'd like to think about it, too. If you handed any of these coaches a completely average team, what could they do with that team from day one this year? And I think that if you put Matt Campbell up against Kirk Ferentz, I think you could argue that Matt Campbell could do more with that roster.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just based on what we've seen here in the – oh, my gosh.
What happened?
Did that just say what I thought it said? I'm pretty sure it just said that the Jonas Brothers are coming to Des Moines.
Oh, boy.
I could be wrong, though. It was like a SeatGeek notification, and I swiped it away before I could look at it.
Uh-oh. Well, I'm sure it's on Twitter.
I might just got announced. I might be wrong, but if that's what it said, then that's a game changer.
It is.
Man, that was the most like teenage girl thing I've ever said in my life.
We'll be talking about the Jonas Brothers later on the podcast.
Yeah, we will. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, I do agree with you. I mean, and I think that when you're probably in like that 15 to 20 range, a lot of those guys are probably interchangeable.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Herman, I think, was in that grouping.
Yeah.
There's a couple other younger guys that were all right around there.
Mm-hmm. And I believe
247 had him in the top 10, had him at number 9.
Matt Campbell?
Yes.
Woo! That's pretty high. I'm not sure I'd put him that high yet.
No. That's a trying to get clicks from Iowa State fans.
Exactly.
Poll.
Which is definitely a thing. Whenever people do something nice about Iowa State, they know that they're going to get a crap ton of retweets.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But wasn't it – who was the top Big 12 coach of the group? Was it Lincoln Riley or Barry Patterson?
I would guess it had to have been Lincoln Riley. I didn't. Here, I had it pulled up on Twitter.
I think,
man, if it wasn't Lincoln Riley, I would be absolutely shocked.
They were both in the top 10, I'm pretty positive.
Looks like, yeah, Frost was 25. So Campbell was the first Big 12 coach at 19. Herman at 7. Oh my goodness. I don't know if that came through on the recording. Oh my goodness.
Oh. I kind of hope it did because that's hilarious.
I hope it didn't because that just blew everybody's eardrums out just like it blew mine out.
Yeah, we have to go back.
No, we're good. Texas, Herman at 17. Gundy at 12. Man, that's kind of crazy. Patterson at 8. And Lincoln Riley at 4.
So wait, why do you say that Gundy at 12 is amazing? You think he should be lower?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
I mean, he didn't have a good year last year, but, I mean, they've been pretty good consistently the last decade or so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's probably right. I don't know. I wouldn't call Mike Gundy the 12th coach in college football, but that's just my personal opinion. Chris Peterson, ahead of Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, he's at number
three, wasn't he? Yeah, obviously 1 and 2 are obvious, but.
What?
Yeah, right.
Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney?
I know. How could you ever guess? But, yeah, I mean, I think that just further shows the respect that Campbell has gotten across the country at this point.
Agreed. And you would think that as long as he gets a couple more seasons of, you know, 7, 8, 9 wins, he's going to keep rocking it up there.
I would say this will be the first time when Iowa State is good this year, it will be the first time that everybody's not surprised that Iowa State's good, you know?
Because, again, last year they were coming off the first year of being good, and at that point you could point at that and be like, oh, it was probably just a fluke. Iowa State's going to go back to the cellar.
Yeah.
But now that we've got 2 years a row of being good, you kind of start to expect it.
Right. I think year three is when you solidify yourself, mm-hmm. where it's like you stop being the plucky underdog,
yep.
and you go into being they're like, okay, this is the real deal. Yeah. This isn't just like a group of guys, under-recruited people, and, you know, this – you know, the young coach and stuff. Yeah. Like, no, they're really building something.
And so often, too, you can – like, a football team will be really good because they have a couple of really good players. Mm-hmm. And you could make the case for that for last year with, obviously, David Montgomery and Hakeem Butler. At the same time, I think the depth is so good that we aren't going to see a major step back, if any.
Yeah.
So.
And especially getting the Michael Pettway.
Yep.
On the outside. They're going to be good, man. Yeah. I really feel like they're going to be really good.
Agreed.
And, dude, and if they get game day –
man.
Which I'm getting close to the point now where I would be more surprised if they don't get it than if they do.
And are you thinking it'll be the Iowa game? Unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I think so.
I think so too.
Dude, I think that'd be cool. I don't know.
It would be.
I get why people say that, but at the same time, it's still in Ames and everybody's saying that we got to share it with Iowa. No, like it's still Ames. Ames is the one getting showcased, you know, and
you know, people want to get a look at the rivalry, too.
The rivalry can go from being El Asico to, like, being actually a good, well-respected rivalry across college football.
Yep. The one thing that would make me mad, though, is if they split up, like, the segments about the game into Hawkeyes and Cyclones evenly. That would make me mad.
Don't they do that usually, though?
Probably.
I mean, I don't get to watch game day near as much anymore.
The first time they come to Ames, I would just love it to be completely pro-Cyclone.
So, yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of people don't want Iowa involved.
So. Yeah. I think they know, they have to know based on when they came for basketball how crazy it will be if they do that. That game's got to be at night too, doesn't it?
I think so.
If that's what they did.
Well, actually, I'm not sure it has to be at night.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I feel like you got it. Like,
If
that's how it is, man, then that game better be the ABC primetime Kirk Herbstreit's
in
town.
I don't think there's that many good games that week.
No.
That would be over the Cy-Hawk rivalry.
So. That would be big time. Yep. Jack Trice under the lights for Cy-Hawk.
Yeah, that crowd could potentially be the best crowd in Iowa State football history.
Man, if they had game day and a night game on the same day, that would be a rowdy group.
Yeah,
there'd be 60,000 rowdy or 60,000 rowdy people.
Yep.
I don't even want to know what the arrest numbers would look like in Ames on that day.
It would be bad, and there might be riots.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
The lots would be. Like a war zone.
Yep.
All right. You got mailbag questions? Do we have anything else to add?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Let's do mailbag questions.
All right. First mailbag question comes from Jay Hunzi. Realistically, can you ask Jared where Joel Embiid has been the last few days? Because he clearly wasn't in Toronto or Philadelphia. Where has Joel Embiid been the last few days, Jared?
He's been battling illnesses. I don't know. He had gastrointestinitis last week.
Sounds like wussitis.
He had upper respiratory issue last night.
Excuses.
And, yeah. No, I can't even.
I can't even pretend.
No, they got their freaking asses kicked last night, dude. From beginning to end, that was just completely awful, awful performance.
And was it partly because the Raptors were so good, or was Philadelphia just that bad?
I think the Sixers look like there's some guys on the team that are ready to go to Cabo or wherever they're going this summer.
So are you going to name names of who those people are?
Well, let's just say that one of them's a former number one pick in the NBA draft.
Ah, I see. That's kind of surprising.
I'm souring on him. I'm souring on his game.
I mean, he has no outside shots.
Doesn't shoot the ball. Refuses to shoot the basketball.
That hinders your offense so much.
Yeah, and he just was like, when he's moving around, he's running into people and dragging his guy in people's way. And if they bring back Jimmy Butler, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they tried to trade him while his value's still high.
Would you rather have Jimmy Butler at this point over Ben Simmons?
Yeah. Because, right now, if you trade Ben Simmons, you're getting something good for him.
Yeah.
Trade him to a bad team. He seems like the guy that will put up big numbers on a really bad team.
So would you want to trade for picks, or would you want to get a good player back?
It just would depend on the package. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what.
Would you trade
Ben
to LA?
Simmons fetches, right?
I have no idea what the cap space situation is like, but I mean, I figure the Lakers always want to do something. So
that would be interesting. I haven't thought about it enough.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get
Lonzo.
Yeah, get Kuzma. Get Alonzo. Yeah, I'd do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a pick.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to look in the scenarios a little bit more. But, yeah, I fully expect Brett Brown to get fired and to see. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if Ben Simmons plays his last game for the Sixers tomorrow.
That's pretty crazy looking back where they were, like, even a couple years ago. I think there was a lot of optimism.
Yeah, I mean, I just think we're finding out that their games don't fit that well together.
Yeah.
You know? And the fact of the matter is that it's harder to find a what, like Joel, when he's playing well, he looks like he's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
You know, when he's really looks like he feels good and he just looks like he's got a really good vibe about him, he looks like he is the best player in basketball.
Yeah.
And, but at the same time, when he isn't playing well, the whole team just looks terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't know. My thing with Simmons is it's like, what have we seen him do? You know, the only good game he's played in the playoffs was the one when Embiid didn't play in the Brooklyn series.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is, yeah, they can't necessarily coexist as good as they should be able to in order to win a finals.
I think there's a reason that you've seen Jimmy Butler get really buddy-buddy with Joel Embiid over the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. I'll put it that way.
Gotcha.
I think that Jimmy Butler, we clearly know Jimmy Butler knows how to play the game.
Yeah.
We've seen that lots of times already. And I think he's positioning himself to make sure that he's in the right.
Yeah.
Right side of the battle on that one.
So I'm even thinking,
I don't know that they like each other that much, just from what I've heard before. Simmons and Embiid.
I mean, whenever I've watched a 76ers game, it never seems like they're that buddy-buddy.
No, I don't think they like each other very much, but that's like Embiid's city right now. He's got that city in the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the Sixers did not show up last night. I don't know where they were. I don't expect them to show up tomorrow.
Are they down what now?
Down
3-2.
Season's okay. Over. Going on vacation. That's what they're ready for.
Nuggets update. Nuggets are up 3-2, right?
They are up 3-2. They're going to Portland tomorrow night to try and close them out.
That's right. So good for Monte. Might be
I think that series will go 7, though. I can't imagine Portland. Those guys play too hard.
Mm-hmm. Good team.
Yeah.
Anywho, anything else NBA you want to talk about before we move on?
The Warriors are going to lose. I'll just tell you that.
All right.
I don't need to give you any more context than that. Warriors are going down in this series, yeah.
All right.
I'm all in on the Rockets. I think everybody's just done with the Warriors crap. I think even the Warriors are done with the Warriors crap.
Yeah. Do you think Kevin Durant goes to the Knicks in the offseason?
I don't know. Yeah.
Would you like to see him go to the Knicks?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so distant. I'm just so soured on Kevin Durant after the last 3 years.
Yeah.
That he can, I don't know, he can do whatever he wants to. I'm not going to ever forgive him.
Yeah.
For being a little beta.
Snake.
Beta B word. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Yeah. What's the next one?
One more mailbag question from Scotty P. If you worked for a potato chip company and you could create a new flavor of chips, which flavor of chips would you create? I think for me, my favorite food, if I had to name one, would be steak. And I don't feel like there's ever...
Steak chips?
Yeah. And it's not necessarily that great of a flavor idea, but at the same time, I think there's potential there. If you can come up with something that tastes even remotely like steak and do it well, then that would sell really well.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting.
I mean, because...
I don't know.
Another thing, I think at one point, didn't Lay's have the flavor contest and one of the flavors was biscuits and gravy?
Yeah. I feel like we have like every flavor of chip that we need, you know?
Trying to think if there's more.
Like, how goofy can you get with your chips?
Pretty dang.
Well, I know you can get pretty dang goofy, but can we and should we are two completely different things. Well, we talked about this with the pigs on the lost episode.
I feel like if there's something salty that hasn't necessarily been done on chips, then you can try that. Because I think chips are meant to be salty. If you go sweet with a chip, that's just an abomination.
Here's my thing, though. If for you right now, you're 26, mm-hmm. right? As a 26-year-old man, like what kind of chip would come out in stores that you would see and be like, yeah, I'm going to buy that? I feel like by 26 years old, me, 24, you know what you want in a chip. You already know what chips you like.
No, you're not wrong. But at the same time, if it was an intriguing flavor, like again, if a steak flavor chip, if Lay's released a steak flavor chip today, I would be like, I'm going to try that at least once. And I wouldn't have normally other. If I'm walking past it in the grocery aisle and I've never tried that chip, I will buy it just to try it once. I'm not necessarily going to be a repeat buyer. But it will get me to at least make that initial purchase.
I feel like I'm just too deeply ingrained in my current chip habits.
Like I'm a full-on Cool Ranch Doritos guy.
Right.
That's
like
my go-to.
I'm not going to change up my what already works.
Yeah.
You know? Just keep making the chips and making them good. That's all I care about.
Yeah. If they ever got rid of Doritos in general, I might just, you know.
It's like the Oreo thing.
Go away.
Why? Like Oreo only puts out these goofy things because of publicity.
Yeah.
That's the only reason that they do it. And it's all about just trying to get their stuff to go viral on Twitter.
But I mean, half the time
it works. And get Darren Rovell to tweet it out.
Yeah. you got to wonder how much they paid Darren Rovell to do that stuff. Because I'm sure some companies have paid him.
Oh, they send him stuff too.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see where Nike sent him his shoes that he wore in like the Chicago Marathon, plated in gold?
Really?
Yes, in a box.
Man. Once you get that big and you start doing like that all the time, you're basically an Instagram influencer, except he's on Twitter, obviously.
Yeah. He is, dude. He's got like 5 million followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's just a huge nerd. Just like likes some of the things that he follows are so weird. The things he'll tweet about.
What did he do? Did he do the 20-yard dash or the 40-yard dash? And he was like so slow.
It was the 20 where he just looked ridiculous.
He looked absolutely. He looked like he was hunched all over and going I don't know. It was.
Well, have you seen when he played one-on-one against Kristaps?
I may have. Oh, that was a while ago.
It was horrible. That was quite a while ago. I mean, he's just like the most unathletic guy ever.
He's the classic old guy who should not be doing athletic stuff.
Yeah, and yet these companies keep bringing him in because he's got 5 million followers on Twitter.
Yep.
All right, we'll do Hot Not and Pick 4 after the break on Stands and Fits, presented by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State in the Carl Chevrolet Studios on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it's Chris interrupting this podcast because, you know, everybody wants to know that I get it asked all the time. How can we help Cyclone Fanatic? Well, you help Cyclone Fanatic by you support our advertisers, and everybody needs to be aware of eye care. I wasn't for a long time, and I went to Ames Eye Care, and they really helped me out. It's changed my life. I don't have headaches the way that I did. You've heard me talk about this. They're also in Des Moines at Des Moines Eye Care, and you need to think about this with your family. Get the kids checked out. Encourage the wife. Anything. Personalized eye care, designer eyewear. I've got these sweet Maui Jim glasses that I use at work all the time. People think they look awesome. They meet your whole family's vision needs at Ames and Des Moines Eye Care. Check them out today and support Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome back to Stands and Fits. Time for Hot and Not.
You have no hots this week, so
This week. I'm disgruntled.
Yeah, you're very pessimistic this week, so I'll kick it off.
Two knots. Not.
The solo hot this week from me. I entered my wife into a Wheel of Fortune. Like I applied her for Wheel of Fortune since she's a teacher. and she enjoys watching Wheel of Fortune. That was 3 or so weeks ago when, I don't know if you saw, but they had their Wheelmobile like come through.
Yeah, they did auditions like in Osceola, right?
In Osceola. We didn't go to those, but it kind of reminded me that, hey, my wife's a teacher. Maybe I should just enter her because they do teacher week quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I entered her online, and basically last week we got an email back, and they're like final auditions that are in Des Moines on Tuesday next week. She was one of the random applicants.
Seriously?
So she and I are both going to the audition on Tuesday.
You get to participate too?
Yeah. She said, or the application said, if you want to bring on a partner, you're allowed to. So we are going to both do it. So there's, I can't remember what they said, but only so many people get to go to the final auditions. And it's like a massive drop down for the people that go to like the Wheelmobile events and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So we're just like a couple steps away from being on Wheel of Fortune.
So there's a reasonably high chance that you'll be on Wheel of Fortune.
If we don't screw up royally bad. Because I think the audition process, once you actually get there, is like you go through mock like Wheel of Fortune stuff. Like you call out letters and they just want to see how, you know, mm-hmm. how normal you are, essentially, if you'd be good on a game show. And then you have to fill out, like, they give you...
how normal you are or how not normal you
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they give you so many... puzzles like on pieces of paper that you would have to fill in, like, mm-hmm. and just see how smart you are, essentially. And so if you do good on, you know, the in-person stuff and the smart side of filling out those puzzles, then you might be selected. So
that would possibly be the greatest moment in the history of Stands and Fits if you got to go on Wheel of Fortune.
That would be amazing. Either me or my wife, or if we make it as a couple.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see.
If you could go on any game show, what would it be?
That's a good question. Back in the day, I would have loved to go on Deal or No Deal.
Okay.
Just because there's...
Like in its heyday?
Yeah, in its heyday. Because I feel like that's a pretty easy show to walk away with like $100,000. And I wouldn't want to go all the way to the end because it's very unlikely that you pick the $1 million case.
Yeah.
But I think you can make a pretty... It doesn't take a lot of luck or smarts to be good at Deal or Deal if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
What about you, though? Which game show would you go on?
There was like a friend week, me and my friends could go on Family Feud, I think we would kill it at that.
I love Family Feud.
Just because, I don't know, I think we would do really well at that game.
Yeah.
Me and my family probably would too. But I know specifically just how my friends think we would all do really well at that game.
Yeah.
But no, if I could go on anyone, it would have been the original Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
With Regis Philbin.
I love those.
When it was like a huge event every week when that... Millionaire was gonna be on.
Yep,
that would have been what I wanted to do.
I want to say it was like every Sunday night, either Saturday or Sunday for a long time. We watched Who Wants to Be a Millionaire growing up.
Yeah, before they took it to daytime with what's her name?
I can't even remember. But the blonde, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
but yeah, the original one where like the
man, it's gonna come to me.
You get once you get to $1,000 and once you get to $32,000, those are your fallbacks.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Man, yeah, that'd be fun. Just because the potential, if you answer 15 questions right or whatever it is, then you get $1 million.
That game would have been so, I think I would be perfect for that game because I just have a very like wide net of really random knowledge.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just really stupid things to where I think I could do well at Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where you're not going to trip me up too often with something crazy.
And too, like I was always, if I had to take a test, I was always 1,000 times better at multiple choice tests than I was fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people say that, but at the same time. It's a fact.
Yeah. I was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm glad we got that out of the way. my first knot is Iceland, the entire country. 25 years ago today, Gordon Bombay led the United States team to a gold medal in the Junior Goodwill Games over those douchebags from Iceland. And, just had to be a reminder. I will never visit the country of Iceland because everybody came off so bad in that movie. I will never go there. I refuse.
If I go,
it will only be so I can crap on the grave of the coach of the Iceland hockey team.
Man. So great day in American history. Yeah, my in-laws went to Iceland, and they have pictures on the wall, and it's actually very beautiful. But I understand your perspective. I totally understand it.
Did they try and find the coach so they could punch him square in the nose?
No, I'm pretty sure they would have zero idea what you were talking about if you were to mention that. So
I wonder how many people out there. I should probably say Mighty Ducks 2 is what this came from. But
now you get the reference, everyone listening.
Yeah. I saw that on Twitter today. I was like, yeah.
That's definitely.
I hate Iceland. Anytime I see anybody talk about Iceland, that's the first thing I think
technically
of.
You could have turned that into your knot and been like, yeah, Team USA, they won 25 years ago today. But
Yeah, but we always win.
Yeah, you're right. Red, white, and blue.
Forever. All right.
All right. My not this week. Presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke disgracing Iowans everywhere by eating real Casey's pizza, like dinner pizza, instead of breakfast pizza. And he called it breakfast pizza. And he basically, it's the kind of political pandering where he took that video and he's like, oh yeah, I'm here eating Casey's breakfast pizza trying to win over votes, but it's definitely not.
Was he like aware that he wasn't eating Casey's breakfast pizza, or he just like didn't know?
That's the grand question. I don't think we really know.
Because that changes things. If he was really trying to pull a fast one on us, thinking that we're that stupid here, that we can't recognize the difference between breakfast pizza
because
and just normal pizza.
The pizza, you can clearly see it has, like, I want to say veggies, like, and olives on it. And if anyone's ever seen a Casey's breakfast pizza, that is definitely not an ingredient.
There's, like, veggies breakfast pizza, isn't there?
There is, but it's not, like, you don't put olives on Casey's breakfast pizza.
Okay, I don't know. I wouldn't get any of those things on a pizza anyway, no. So.
Well, I mean, the traditional Casey's breakfast pizza you look at, and it's, like, eggs and bacon and, you know, all that normal stuff.
I'm a sausage guy, but yeah. That's what I would be interested to know. Did someone just tell him that he had to eat Casey's breakfast pizza while he was here?
I'm sure it was one of his campaign, like, you know, directors, and they were like, oh, yeah, you got to go there and get that pizza and eat it. But he probably just didn't realize it.
Yeah, he had probably had no idea what he was doing.
He was just doing
what someone told him.
An honest mistake, but at the same time, you got to fact check those things.
Well, I guess we know that nobody in the state of Iowa is going to vote for Beto.
Yep. Sorry, Beto. Your presidential campaign has come to an abrupt halt before it began.
My other not this week is Fred Hoiberg and his coaching staff's antics at the University of Nebraska right now. In the last week and a half, they have told three players from last year's team that they no longer have spots on the roster. Two of which are guys who spent the majority of the season injured. One of them blew out his Achilles in preseason, and the other one was hurt right at the end of the year, after being sick early in the season, didn't play in any of the non-conference, played in some of the conference games, and then got hurt again. Both of them were still rehabbing and all this stuff. And it had leaked that these guys were going to were not going to come back, put their names in the transfer portal. And then they said that, no, that's not true. We're coming back. From everything that it sounds like, they had their meetings with the coaches that made it seem like they were going to come back. And then over the weekend, the coaches called them and told them that they would not have a spot on the team in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And the other kid that they had done this to was from Platteview, which is in Nebraska. And I get it if you don't think he's going to play for you. But I just think that that's a really crappy way of doing business.
Yeah, it is. And, you know,
like, pulling people's scholarships, telling them they don't got – well, you're not – I guess you're not technically pulling their scholarship. They sign a four-year deal. But when there's a coaching change, they are able to come in and say you won't have a spot on the team anymore.
Yeah.
And that they'll honor the scholarship for the next 3 years, but they won't be on the team. They just can't be on the team. Hmm. That is so weird to me.
It is very weird. And especially
– and I feel like you don't ever hear about that.
The part that makes it worse for me is the fact that they are coming off injuries.
Yeah.
Because they never really got to prove themselves or make a case for why they should stay.
Right. That's just – and I get – I mean, they've done well recruiting. They got like the number two junior college kid in the country. They've got a transfer from Western Kentucky, a kid from Florida Gulf Coast as a grad transfer that's supposed to be good, some other guys. But I don't – why? Why do people like that?
Yeah.
I mean, right now there's three people from last year's team that will be back next year. Everybody else will be brand new.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Whew. That's a lot of turnaround.
And one of them, it leaked that he was leaving too, but then for some reason it turns out that he is coming back. Ironically, he actually is from Iceland. So
it all comes full circle.
The reason they don't want him to come back is probably because Fred's a big Mighty Ducks 2 fan.
Oh, there you go. You'll have to, you probably have Fred's number in your phone. You can just ask him.
If he didn't come back for whatever reason, I don't know. I assume he'll come back, but based on the fact that these things leaked and then they said they were coming back
and then
they didn't come back, I won't be shocked at all if he doesn't come back too.
Yeah.
And then Isaiah Roby has already entered into the NBA draft. If he goes, and he's going to be at the combine next week. So if he does well at the combine, decides to stay in the draft, there would be one guy.
Wow.
They would have filled 12 scholarships. In theory, would have had to fill 12 scholarships to have a full team.
Yeah. So then on one hand, you can look at that and be like, wow, it sucks for Fred. On the other hand, I mean,
does it suck for Fred or is it sucky by Fred?
Maybe his staff. Maybe both.
Yeah. I think that it's probably sucky on their part.
Yeah.
The way of just doing it that way.
Yeah. You got to feel for those guys who got the boot.
Yeah. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for those kids. They're both freshmen.
You don't know what their attitudes have been like behind the scenes, too. That might have gone into it as well.
Yeah.
Because that's important for a locker room, especially when you got a new coach coming in. But
that's just really weird. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that before, where he just comes in and tells everybody to leave, basically.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's got that NBA mentality now.
Well, that's what I was texting my dad about it. I feel like it speaks volumes of what Fred thought of Tim Miles's talent evaluation.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, whatever. But if you're going to be kicking people off the team like that, telling them to leave, you're not going to have many friends if you're not able to fill those spots with anybody of any quality. You're going to make yourself look awfully stupid.
And I wonder how much, I wonder how much that'll be used against him on the recruiting trail.
How's that good recruiting practices?
Yeah, because opposing coaches can look at that and say, hey, yeah, if you go to Nebraska, this is how they're going to treat you.
They're not scared at all to tell you don't get your scholarship anymore and get the hell out.
Exactly.
That's really weird to me. I don't know. That really rubbed me the wrong way, where I've been seeing this kind of stuff happen, and I'm just like, man, I don't like that. Yeah. I don't like that they're able to do that. That's just really unfair.
Just throw some more logs in the fire of the hate Fred Hoiberg train.
I'm soured on the situation because of this. This is, I don't know, win some basketball games next year, it might be different, but that's where I'm at right now, where I'm like, man, you guys are not doing anything to make me feel better about this.
Well, you're going to feel that way for the next, what, 3 or 4 months till basketball's back, so.
Yeah, at least. All right. So that's that. Time for pick four. Guilty Pleasure Music X this week.
So you
and
went,
you didn't follow the rules.
I broke the rules.
Yeah.
But I think it still applies, technically. Yeah.
You're doing songs.
I did songs. I don't really have guilty pleasure acts that I follow. Like if a specific artist is not good in general, like I consider a guilty pleasure act a song that's like people will make fun of you for listening to, or it's by someone who's not necessarily that great of an artist, but it's a catchy song, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So a lot of the people I picked, I wouldn't listen to regularly, but I still enjoy the song.
Okay. Yeah, I listen to all of mine pretty regularly.
Okay. So we had a little bit different perspective here. So how about you do yours first then? You'll do your acts.
Okay. So these are all bands or singers. The first one is 303. Do you remember them?
I do. They had one really big song.
Don't Trust Me.
That's right.
Yeah. And they actually had a couple other. I think they put out one album, and then they did like a feature with Kesha or something like that. And then
they faded into a
blizzard. And their one album had some really good songs. And I'll listen to that randomly sometimes. Yeah. But it came out in like 2008. And just like a really random group.
There was that one point where in the era of when you scoop the loop around town, you get in the car and like the people I was getting in the car with, we listened to that 303 song. Like
Don't Trust Me on repeat the entire time. Yeah. No, they're one of those bands that when they come up, someone, like if you're riding in the car with somebody and you're the DJ and that comes on,
they look
at you and they're like, why are you listening to 303?
Yeah.
You know? But I
agree with you. That song's a jam, that one.
Yeah. My second one is Hank Williams Sr.
I have no comment on this.
I love Hank Williams, dude. This is my absolute favorite sitting outside, having a beer and sitting in my rocking chair music. Hank Williams.
See, I know even less about country than I do rap, so that's basically nothing.
He's like a country singer from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Sings like...
Old
school.
Because his son is in country as well, right?
Yeah, he's the one who does the "Are You Ready for Some Football?"
That's right. Yeah. That's where I knew the name.
Yeah, that's Hank Williams Jr.
Okay,
but no, Hank Williams Sr. is one of the greats.
Mm. All right.
And for some reason I started listening to him on Spotify. I actually think I heard one of his songs on a TV show and I liked it, and then I just started listening to his Spotify playlist.
Gotcha.
Number three is Taylor Swift. Not new Taylor Swift though.
Yeah.
Old school Taylor Swift.
Old Taylor.
Yeah. Like when we were in high school, Taylor. That's my girl.
What? Okay. So I think everyone generally agrees that old Taylor was better than new Taylor. I think if you ask a lot of people, they'll all agree with that. But At what point, what song or album do you think that she finally started to like drop off?
What's the one that had 20, is it 22?
Yeah.
Yeah.
22's an album. Or that, had, I'm Feeling 22 or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah. The, is that, what's that called? Like the Red album or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That's the one that I think
everything, she started going downhill.
Yeah. Everything changed.
Yeah.
She put out the ones when we were like in high school, and I was still in on her. But like, then it was like when we got to college, she went mainstream.
Yeah. I think one of the last good Taylor songs was Love Story. That was a pretty good one.
Yeah, that was like her second album, I think.
Yeah.
Or no, that might have even been her first one.
I think it was her second. Okay. I'm pretty sure that was when I was a sophomore in high school, sophomore or junior. And then there was definitely Taylor before that.
Okay. Yeah. No, not anything new though. Mm-hmm. I saw Taylor in concert 3 years ago though, and it was good. She's good in concert.
As good as DMX though.
Well, let's not get carried away here. No, that's like one of those concerts. I told you I was thinking about how many concerts I've been to.
Yeah.
I always forget about that one. There's like a couple of them that I went to that were just really random that I'd always forget about.
So it didn't leave an lastable impression on you.
It was just, yeah, it was like I just went to a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I went to, I saw Hobson, like the Ill Mind of Hobson. Mm. Probably haven't heard of him.
Nope.
Well, I saw him, and that was another one that I always forget about. I saw Macklemore.
Yep.
I always forget about that one because it was like after he had
blew up.
After he blew up.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a really good show, but for some reason I just always forget that I went to that one.
So how'd you end up going to a Taylor Swift concert? Like who would you go with?
I went with my girlfriend at the time, but what I think happened was my mom had bought tickets from her and my sister and she was going to Omaha and Des Moines. And then somehow she ended up with tickets in both places.
Oh,
so she just gave the tickets to me for the one in Des Moines and I went.
Didn't want to see Taylor back to back, huh?
Yeah, no, I there was a lot of screaming girls there.
I imagine.
Imagine what the Jonas Brothers would be like.
Oh, even worse. Like Jonas Brothers and I feel
but
like.
But then the second they played the year 3000, it would all be worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there.
I saw Fall Out Boy. That one was kind of interesting.
I bet they would put on a pretty good concert. Like I'm not a huge fan of their music half the time, and especially when it gets overplayed on the radio.
But they played way too many of their new songs. I wanted old Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of their new stuff. I wanted like middle school Fall Out Boy.
They were a little bit more rocky back in middle school.
Yeah. Thanks for the Memories and like Sugar We're Going Down, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted all that, and they were playing way too much stuff that I'd never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was another one that was just like, I think they were coming and tickets were really cheap. And I was just like, I said to my friend, hey, you want to go to Fall Out Boy on Saturday? So we went.
Where was that at?
It was in Des Moines. Yeah.
At Wells Fargo?
At Wells Fargo. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't think of any other like random ones like that. Most of them are all, or other ones are all legitimate people. But then my last one, this kind of is a segue. Blink 182. I love Blink 182. I don't know if they're really a guilty pleasure. I think that that's pretty like well accepted. Like
you can
be a big Blink 182 fan.
I think if you were to walk up to someone in random and say, hey, I'm a big Blink 182 fan, I don't think that would, you know, net you a bad taste from them.
Yeah. But I can sit and listen to Blink 182 for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just, I really like that vibe of music, and they are coming to Kansas City with Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
And it is going to be probably the greatest concert in the history of America.
Yeah.
That one might eclipse DMX.
It's quite the pairing. And you wonder, like, too, why more artists don't, like, look at, hey, this is this is the demographic that typically comes to your concerts and match it up with people who might not be in the same genre, but hit the same demographic.
See, but the thing is, I've been to a Lil Wayne concert, and I don't think that the people that would go to a Lil Wayne concert would be the same ones that would go to a
Blink 182.
Blink 182.
Hmm.
But I also, when I saw Lil Wayne, it was also with 2 Chainz and T.I. So it was a little bit of a different show.
I'm sure a lot of people were there for those artists as well.
Dude, I don't think T.I. did more than maybe one of his own songs.
Really?
Maybe two.
A bunch of covers?
Yeah, he did Paper Trail, like 2 songs off of Paper Trail. The one with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
And another one. He did Bring Him Out, which is a absolutely horrible rap song. And then he did the Robin Thicke song.
Oh yeah.
what was that? What
Blurred
was
Lines?
Yeah, Blurred Lines, yeah, yeah. And he did the whole thing, like, him.
Yeah.
Not with Robin Thicke. It was him doing the song. And I was like,
that sounds like it could be a disaster.
I was like, man, T.I., I don't come to a T.I. concert to hear you
Robin
do.
Thicke.
Yeah, hear you too, Robin Thicke, dude. Yeah, and that was, like, right at the peak of when that song was just getting really super annoying.
Yeah. That song was really overplayed when it hit its peak, for sure.
Yeah, that definitely was not a guilty pleasure. I could be perfectly happy with never hearing that song ever again in my entire life.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
All right, what do you got?
That kind of leads into my list. So, again, I went with specific songs, not artists. But speaking of overplayed, Sucker by Jonas Brothers. Actually, even though it's overplayed.
This is the new one, right?
Yeah, their new one that's on the radio now.
I like that song.
Everybody like it
thought
too.
It sucked when it first came out, and I was like, man, this song's really catchy. I don't know
it
what
is.
You guys
it's,
are talking about.
It's really
about.
Catchy, and honestly, I would rather listen to that multiple times over a lot of the other popular songs that are on the radio nowadays.
I can't even listen to like 105.1 or anything because
yeah.
It's just it's the same songs over and over again.
107.5 is the one that repeats so much, in my opinion. 105.1 is pretty repeat as well, but not as bad.
Yeah. If the Jonas Brothers did come to Des Moines, would you go? Would you consider going?
If my wife wanted to go, I would go. Yeah.
I think I would very seriously consider that.
Really? So you're a bigger Jonas Brothers fan than I am. Like, I don't mind the Jonas
Well,
Brothers.
It would depend on the cost of tickets.
That's true.
It's the same. Backstreet is coming to, and I'm on the record as a huge Backstreet Boy guy.
Yeah.
They're coming to Kansas City, too.
Mm-hmm.
I very seriously am also considering going to that. And I think it's, like, on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Actually, the Blink-182 show is on a Sunday, too. So
so you're gonna be a little bit groggy on Monday morning.
Yeah. But if it's to go see Backstreet, like, I feel like, you know, I feel like that's acceptable.
There are some acts out there where even if they were to come on like a, you know, the middle of the week, you just have to go no matter what.
Like DMX.
Yeah. Like DMX. Good,
yeah.
Good example. All right. My number three, Sandstorm by Darude. And this is kind of like, you know, just related to Iowa State.
The EDM one. Yeah.
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 Exactly.
Okay.
It's a guilty pleasure because lots of people like to make fun of it. Just being that, you know, general electronic song, but since I have so many memories that relate it to Iowa State, you know, positive things because they play it when Iowa State does something good, that's why it's my guilty pleasure. Moving on, number two, Toxic by Britney Spears. It's just a flat out jam. No one can deny that when Toxic comes on, you turn it up on the radio.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Fair.
I know you're kind of giving me a face right now, but of all the Britney Spears songs, would you choose Toxic as the one to listen to, or would you go with a different one?
Absolutely not. Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Nah, dude, that's not as good.
No, it's that's peak Britney.
Hit Me Baby One More Time. I don't like that one as much. Toxic just has a way better vibe to me.
Whatever, dude.
All right.
I don't know about that.
I'm no Britney Spears expert by any means, but I don't think that's a contest. Number one for me, My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, my God.
This is it's just undeniably catchy.
Black Eyed Peas are douche rap. They're like the Florida Georgia line of rap.
I don't disagree. But My Humps with Fergie on the lead for that one, that was just a classic. Hit right in the middle school, early high school era. And it was just like perfect for jamming out with my friends.
When I say that they're the Florida Georgia line of rap, don't get me wrong. I can get down to a good Black Eyed Peas jam, but it's just one of those ones that every song they put out is so cheesy.
It is. Although I would say I like Pump It. Pump It's a fairly non-cheesy song for them, I think.
Let's Get It Started.
That one's
iconic song.
It's iconic, but I cannot listen to that anymore.
I had that. What that album was called? Elefunk.
Yeah.
I had that one and Speaker Box Love Below, Outkast.
Yep.
Those are two of like my first rap CDs. Man. D12,
yeah,
with Eminem and all those guys, Kniva,
yeah,
My Band.
I love
album.
My Band. I was just about to say that.
Yeah. That's I had that one too.
Nice.
I mean, I had DMX's Greatest Hits, the edited version.
Yep.
Jaquan, I had a Jaquan. Man, I'm not proud of third grade Jared's music selection.
But, I mean, you're not proud of it, but at the same time, you can't really blame it because you didn't know better back then.
No,
back then.
Right. You hear one rap song, it's like, oh, this is a good rap song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I will stand by the fact that My Band is a phenomenal song.
It is.
That is a high-level rap song.
100%.
Yeah. Outstanding video, too.
To close on my humps, to add to its awesomeness is the fact that Michael Scott had it as his ringtone for a long time. So I will close with that.
All right. That's that. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you guys again next week. Peace.